Welcome to the State of Energy. I'm Randy Witt, and that man with all the knowledge, he is Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. Hello, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing today?
Hey, you know what? We're bringing in a new sponsor.
Yeah. I mean, today's a good day. We got a new sponsor.
One Tank. And we hooked up with our buddy Brian Humphrey of Reno, and he gave us the lowdown on One Tank, and it's something that's really, really awesome. If you're concerned about energy, this is going to do you wonders.
Look, our show is listened to around the world, and most of the podcast listeners are propane companies or somebody that's involved in the propane industry.
We're lobbyists.
The lobbyists. But, you know, Brian's group there, they make Tank Monitor that you can also do your billing from.
It's pretty incredible.
And we tried to talk about this word that the tertiary.
Yes.
Tertiary storage. Remember we had the whole conversation in Reno about this. But basically what his service or what his device does is you put it on your tanks out there in the field, your customer tanks, and you bill them through what they consume. And so you get, let's say you have a 1,000 customers and you have a 1,000-gallon tank at each customer. That's 1 million gallons of storage that you get to use as your storage and then bill the consumer as they use it right off of this tank monitor. So it reduces your costs of doing business so much because you don't have to have that extra truck, that extra driver, a bunch of storage. And you can go make your deliveries when you want, how you want, and you bill the customer just like any other traditional utility, maybe electricity or natural gas. But it really falls in line with technology and the way the consumer wants to pay today.
Yeah, One Tank. I mean, they really embraced tech. I mean, because One Tank uses satellite and cellular tank monitors to deliver data that enables you to tap into unused tank capacity for field storage.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the simple explanation right there.
And just a big thanks to Brian for supporting our show. We can't do this show without sponsors. So thank you very much. And if anybody else wants to fight Brian for our sponsorship spots, give us a shout.
Yeah, and find out more about One Tank, go to one-tank.com. That is one-tank.com, onetank.com. I'm Randy Witt, along with Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Horror Picture Show. Doing a time warp! How was your Halloween?
Wow, you know, Halloween was good. It was...
Did you get dressed up?
I had to go Saturday night. Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday. It was a long Halloween weekend, that's for sure.
Wow, you guys celebrate Halloween like I celebrate Christmas.
I could have totally said something different there, but I'm just going to keep it real right here.
No, real would be saying what you were thinking.
We did this Halloween costume thing where you dressed up like your spouse.
Only because I've had the privilege of joining you and your wife in Nevada. That makes me laugh.
Yeah, it was. I'm telling you, it was. She looks a lot better as a man than I do as a woman. I can tell you that.
I'm conflicted by all of this, so I'm going to just revert back to saying that Tom Clark is Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. We also call him Agent 007-1075.
Nice, 1075.
Nice. And just a warning for our listeners today. Tom is burning hot today. He's on fire. He's got a lot going on.
It's gonna be a good show.
Yeah, you're burning hot. You're burning at like 3,623 degrees. I mean, it's impressive. You know what that is?
No, you know, you got to tell me what's that.
3,623 degrees is where propane burns. It's also the equivalent of 37 boy bands.
Wow.
98 degrees. Anyone?
Wow.
God, I need Joy Alafia back here so bad.
Wow. Wow. That's a stretch.
Hey, you know what we need to do? We need to wish Perk a happy 25th anniversary. They recently celebrated the fact that they've been educating the world on the many benefits of propane since 1996.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. 25-year anniversary for Perk, and We've done so many great things with different perk projects around the country. So yeah, kudos to them.
So happy birthday, Perk. And folks, propane is energy for everyone. No, it's not. We're not saying it's a replacement for wind, solar, electric, and hydro. We just think it needs to be part of a well-balanced energy plan, all of us working together.
That's what it's all about, right? I mean, there can't be no one winner. We need all the things.
No, we all need to work together to accomplish the goals of clean energy, affordability, and security, working together. I mean, we are hoping that these other sources can catch up with propane as the most clean, abundant, and affordable fuel there is. Yes, CBS News, propane is affordable and abundant.
How many different clean energies do you need to offset the climate change that's going on right now?
I don't know. Why don't you ask the 400 private planes that went to Glasgow for COP26?
Isn't that amazing? I mean, not only do you need those countries to show up and represent their nation, but you need a whole team of security and media and everybody else. There must have been hundreds and hundreds of jets to go to Glasgow to pull this off.
If you combine them all, it was the world's third largest air force.
Wow.
All those planes went to Glasgow for COP26, which we'll get into in a moment. Folks, we want to let you know that propane is affordable. It's abundant. Yes, CBS News, it is. CBS News had a story talking about U.S. propane market prepares for Armageddon, because we have to use that word every time something's amiss. Because prices are quote-unquote spiking and supply shortages are happening. Folks, we're still producing twice as much propane as we use. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I mean, realistically, the U.S. produces a ton of propane. And the challenges right now are not necessarily where do we get it from, how do we get it. It's really how do you move it, because there's all sorts of delays in transportation. We've talked about this
all
you know for the last couple of weeks about different transportation, boats, trucking, labor issues. There's lots of different supply chain issues going on right now. And unfortunately, propane is kind of drug into these a little bit, not as much as some of the media makes it out to sound. But if there's a supply issue, make sure you go get your tanks filled up. Maybe now, maybe a little sooner than later. Don't wait to be that last guy to get your propane tank filled up, because let's face it, this is challenging times for everybody, not just propane, but every supply point, every supply chain, everything you want has got some type of issue right now.
Remember last month when I got home and sent you a picture as I was flying into LA over the port of Los Angeles with all those container ships?
Yeah.
The ones on the very end still haven't gotten to port.
Are you serious? Wow.
It's just, this is so crazy. That's why some of them are actually going down through the canal around to Florida to offload their stuff.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw they're going to Florida. They're going to Texas. They just got to get this stuff off the ships and get it distributed out to consumers. And propane we don't need to import propane. We produce so much propane, we have to actually export it. So worst case scenario for propane, I mean, there could be times where we're going to say we can't export this because we need to keep it here domestically for our own consumption. But in 2019, the U.S. exported more than 16 billion gallons of propane. I mean, that's a lot. Considering we only consumed 10 billion that year. So I mean, that's more than double our consumption was exported.
You know, and I went to the stateofenergy.com, our website, and I used the where to buy button, and I just typed in my zip code, and I can easily fill up my tanks for $24 each. It's a few dollars more, a little bit more than last year here in California, but nowhere near the price of a gallon of gas, which is $5 a gallon.
Yeah, gasoline is super high right now. Propane is also a little bit higher than normal, but it's not out of control expensive. And if you do need to find a place to buy it, you can easily use the where to buy button. And that's on our website. It's on propane.com. There's lots of different options out there for you. So don't be afraid if you can't find it right there where your work closest to you. You might have to go a tad bit farther or use the where to buy button. You might find something closer than what you're normally used to going to.
It's a tremendous resource at thestateofenergy.com. So propane is ready for action right now for your home, your business, your farm, for fleets of school buses, or even any fleet or even forklifts. And we're going to discuss how propane can do that and how it's energy for everyone. Find out more by going to thestateofenergy.com. That is thestateofenergy.com. And Tom, you know, we did kind of allude to this a little bit. We've got President Biden in Glasgow at COP26, the 26th conference of the parties, which is not necessarily COP. It's COP tips. to see your girl, Greta Thunberg.
Wow, was she there? I didn't know that.
Yeah, she was there. She was actually, the Washington Post said she was mobbed upon her arrival. She made a statement.
And did she ride her bike, or how did she get, or how did she get there?
I believe some crows flew her in.
Did she row a boat to get there?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure one of the 400 private planes that showed up for COP26 was hers. And so folks know, COP26 is the 2021 United Nations Climate Change Conference. It's the one that Joe Biden fell asleep in. Everyone's talking about this. But from their website, they talk about for nearly three decades, the UN has been bringing together almost every country on Earth for global climate summits, minus China and Russia, who are kind of important to this, but we'll let that sit. In that time, climate change has gone from being a fringe issue to a global priority. Around 100 nations pledge to slash methane emissions now. That's the big one that's coming out of this. 100 countries plan to slash methane emissions. Poor cows. I mean, what are we going to do with these cows? The current acting prime minister of Australia, who's actually the deputy prime minister, had a great one. Now, despite the Meat and Livestock Association having a carbon neutral by 2030 target, which suggests that herd numbers can be maintained, Joyce, who's the acting prime minister, said the only way to reduce methane by 30% by 2030 would be to grab a rifle and go out and start shooting cattle.
Oh, jeez.
That was his quote.
I wouldn't doubt it because I saw this same report and it got me curious. Like, where does all this methane come from and how much is it? So I started doing a little bit of research and I found a website called the IEA.org, and there's a nice little methane emissions tracker there. And you're right. Like, agriculture is one of the top ones. Wetlands is another high one. Biomass burning, waste. There's a little bit in there for energy, coal, and oil. Now, if you look at just that energy sector where you have gas, and when they say gas, they're really talking about natural gas, because what is natural gas? It's methane. That's what 90% of natural gas is. Methane. That's what it is. It's the definition of natural gas if you look it up. So we got to reduce this natural gas, or the natural gas that's leaking everywhere, because apparently in a whole bunch of different natural gas production facilities, they're either venting it or it's leaking in places. Then the next one contributor to methane gases is coal. So in the manufacturing or the mining of coal, you have a bunch of methane that's released. It strikes me as odd that these two main contributors outside of the natural contributors is coal and natural gas, which are two of the main resources that we use to create electricity, which is where we're pushing everybody to go towards electric vehicles, electric patio heaters, electric everything, and yet we want to reduce the methane emissions but increase our electricity consumption and use the two items that are most contributing to methane emissions.
It doesn't make sense. And actually, I think we should put this up on thestateofenergy.com. You sent me a video of a train heading south that went on for probably 15 minutes by your phone.
I did.
That was completely filled with coal.
I was up in Wyoming doing some propane training, and the facility that I was at was right next to this track, and all these trains kept going by all day long. This was and these weren't there weren't freight trains. This was all coal. Every single one of these trains that passed through the day was just these car loads of coal. So during the end of my training out there, I walked outside right as a train was coming by, and I said, I got to take a video of this. And it did. It went on for a long time. So I started asking around, I said, where's all this coal going? Because, Wyoming produces so much coal. The most coal in the U.S. is produced in Wyoming. And they started telling me that we don't actually consume this coal here. It's exported to other states, and they use that for electricity consumption or production. So these power plants are using all this coal to create electricity, and it's not consumed there in Wyoming. I mean, the Wyoming produces so much coal that, you know, there's barely over 600,000 people, if that, in Wyoming. So you think about the population in Wyoming is super, super low, but the consumption or the production of coal is like 1 million pounds per person in Wyoming per year. So that's, I mean, there's just a massive, massive amount of coal that's being produced, and it doesn't stay there. It gets exported to all the other states around, and that's how the electricity is produced. And it's a methane gas producer.
And you know what's crazy? I just saw a special. It was a 2017 Dave Chappelle special. And he was making fun of Donald Trump embracing the coal community.
Well,
in 2017. And how much has it increased since 2017, since he left office?
20%. It's up 20%. And that's because we're pushing this electrify everything agenda without any real answer on how to produce electricity clean. And now with this COP26 or COP26, whatever you want to call that summit, and then coming out and saying, let's reduce the methane emissions, and then let's start with natural gas and coal. What do you think that's going to do to our electric grid, our electric consumption?
Why don't you ask the Native Americans near the Arizona-Utah border how that's working?
Man, isn't that, that's another thing that's just blows me away that could even have happened like that.
Because environmentalists cheered when a coal mine near the Arizona-Utah border closed in 2019. That same mine provided coal to the homes of Native Americans who didn't have the luxury of being on the natural gas grid. So coal was their only source. And then when winter came, the elderly had to burn whatever was in their home, including their clothes, just to stay warm. At the same time, an environmental group supporting the coal mine closure spent over $17,000 to throw a lavish party for their political allies at a spa. Think about the juxtaposition of that.
Wow. So I've seen the power plant that was using that coal to create electricity. It's right on the border there in Page, Arizona. And if you've ever been to Lake Powell, it was actually almost like part of the scenery. You went down there and you saw these big smokestacks. And I remember when they tore those down just a year ago. It was like, oh wow, this is gone now. We're not going to see all of this steam coming off of these stacks here because they was so close to the lake because they used a lot of the lake water for the steam electric production. However that whole process worked, but the reality was they stopped mining the coal. And now the people that were using that coal on the reservation, that they had no source of heat.
No. I mean, let's think about it. I mean, you've got these elderly Native Americans. They're off the grid a bit. They had a power source that was keeping them warm and basically keeping them alive. And all of a sudden, environmentalists get this plant shut down without any plan to protect the Native Americans for the coming winter. And that's what we're doing now. We're doing things just moving forward without any concern about the consequences of what we're doing.
This all goes right back to this full circle of the people that are the most vulnerable in these energy changes and the way that we produce and consume is the poor. It really is. It's the people that can't afford it, and they are being pushed to buy energy that they can't afford, and they're the ones that are taking most of the burden on this whole clean energy effort that might not actually be all that clean.
And again, I mean, we agree that we need to do research and evolve and develop develop hydro, wind, solar. But the way we're forcing it forward is hurting so many people that don't get talked about.
It is hurting a lot of people. And propane offers that energy security and that and
justice.
The justice, environmental justice and financial justice by giving this clean energy to everyone that everyone can afford. And that's really that's the whole new slogan is energy for everyone. It's environmentally, the environmental justice and the economic justice is right there clear as day. And propane is the winner there.
You're listening to The State of Energy. I'm Rand DeWitt. That's Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. Find out what propane can do for you by going to thestateofenergy.com. That is thestateofenergy.com. And Tom, we had a great story at lpgasmagazine.com. It talks about the 5 propane autogas fleets demonstrating the fuel's versatility. Pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they're talking about a lot of different things. Mail contractors, the United States Postal Service.
Broward County,
this Maccabee Trucking. There's
who we talked about probably 6 weeks ago and congratulated them on what they were doing with their fleets.
The city of Knoxville.
Yeah.
There's so many fleets that are switching over to propane as an auto gas for their vehicles because it gives them that energy security. They can run bi-fuel system. That means they can run propane, and then when they run out of propane, they can switch over to gasoline, get them to the next area that they need to be at where they can get the propane that they need. So it really does give you a lot of versatility when you're trying to go many miles, not just we talk about range anxiety a lot, right? And if you were in a large vehicle making a delivery and it was running on a battery that was getting close to being dead, you're going to have a lot of range anxiety about that.
Especially if it's cold and you're trying to keep warm.
With propane, you've got this multi-fuel that can run in the same engine as a gasoline engine. So you can have gasoline and run out of that, switch to propane or vice versa. And it gives you double the range. So you've got the opposite of range anxiety, whatever you want to call that.
Broward County is a great one. Because operating in a 471 square mile county, Broward provides customers over 900,000 trips annually, leading to 11.5 million miles of travel overall. And the county's transit, which is based in South Florida, knew it needed an affordable and environmentally sustainable alternative fueling option. So it implemented a wide assortment of propane paratransit fleet vehicles, 272 so far.
Nice. That's pretty cool that there's some people that are actually thinking outside the box besides just this little electric tunnel vision.
Right.
And there's another story in the LP Gas magazine that talks about just how easy it is to actually fuel this vehicle. And there's a new device out by Alliance Autogas that they just got patented. That's basically it's a propane pump inside your vehicle. So you could pull up to any propane tank. If you had a propane tank at your house where you're heating your home with, you could actually hook up a hose to your vehicle and the vehicle would fuel itself quickly too. I mean, we're not talking about sitting there for hours.
An overnight charge.
This is not an overnight charge. This is a very quick refueling of your own vehicle with your own propane storage at your house. Like, how cool is that? I love the technology here and the way that these propane companies are thinking ahead and thinking outside the box to get more people to be able to switch to propane for everyday uses.
Careful. You're starting to use some common sense here. I'm just like warning you. I think we need to develop a complaint email.
A complaint email?
Yeah, complaints@thestateofenergy.com for people that we can educate. Because if they have a problem with what we're talking about, they're not properly educated. Just saying.
We'll just say rand@thestateofenergy.com.
Yeah. Just send all of your complaints there. That's going to go well. We'll have some fun with that. Maybe we can get some guests. You know what? I don't mind having some guests that disagree with what we talk about on the show.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're not saying that electricity or electrifying everything is not a good thing, but we need some cleaner electricity. And I'm not a hater on electric vehicles. I think they're pretty cool, but it would be really nice if there was a way to get those vehicles batteries charged or whatever we're going to do to charge these things up clean.
You know, I wonder how much coal it actually takes for an electric car to take a vacation.
Just a short road trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, say like, I don't know, 50, 60 miles each way.
Well, according to this twooceansdivide.com, it right here, it says 286 pounds of coal burned at the local power plant in order just to go 100 miles.
100 miles is 286 pounds of coal.
I don't burn coal, so I don't know exactly. Like, I'm not the coal electric expert here, but these guys, they've got all sorts of data on this, and it says the average electric vehicle needs 33 kilowatt hours of energy to travel 100 miles. And then it goes on to say a Tesla Model S would require 286 pounds of coal to be burned at the local power plant. That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's a lot of coal. You know what's better than that?
Propane. Propane's going to burn way cleaner than coal. In fact, propane is cleaner than electricity in 38 states. The only ones that it's not cleaner in is those that have some type of nuclear or hydro. But then you're killing the fish, and what do you do with all this nuclear waste? I don't know.
No, apparently send it to Nevada.
Or Utah.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to The State of Energy. That's Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. My name is Rand DeWitt, and find out what propane can do for you by going to thestateofenergy.com.